Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, the Flannelly Show, coming to you from New York. And my guest is Martin Galvin. He is a lawyer. He has spent most of his career, I believe, Martin, in the Bronx, an Irish-American lawyer, a publisher, and an activist. Indeed, with 47 years experience in criminal and general practice, and he is the Freedom of All Ireland Chair of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And you are you're very welcome there, Martin.
Thank you, Adrian. Good to be with you, especially on a day when we can celebrate a victory for the Irish in a British court. There aren't too many chances like that.
But this must be a first. I've been thinking back, and I said, wow, you know, Martin Galvin, you know, the Pied Piper, you know, the leader of the, so many going back to Northern Aid, is now going to talk to us about good news coming from the British court. But it's your, it's terrific, and we're all celebrating. Tell us about it.
Well, what happened is in 1971, just under 50 years ago, internment started on August 9th. And that evening, British troops in Ballymurphy, a very Republican area, shot down Father Hugh Mullen as he was going with a handkerchief raised to go to the aid of somebody that helped them, someone who had been wounded, and to minister to them. And there was another individual with Father Mullen, and he was shot down and killed also. The British government then just, or the British troopers, the parachute regiment, the same one that was involved in Bloody Sunday, a few hours later, shot a grandmother, Joan Connolly, Danny Taggart, Noel Phillips, Joseph Murphy. They went on the next night, shoot Joseph Corr, John Laverty. They killed another individual who's working on a church, a former British soldier, a veteran who had been wounded in World War II, John McCurr, killed Edward Dorr. And the thing about this is each of those killings, shot down unarmed people, were then justified. The British government troopers said that they were gunmen, or they were moving weapons, or they had some other excuse for all of these killings, even for the killing of Father Mullen, even for the killing of a grandmother. And those were justified. They were justified. Those people were all pronounced guilty. Many of them got letters in the post. They got threats. They had to leave their jobs. They had to move to other neighborhoods. They were threatened and or received letters, burn in hell, euphony, and things of that nature. And it took those people. It was the same regiment, and as I said, that a few months later was responsible for Bloody Sunday. It took those people just about 50 years to put that case into a British inquest court and to have a judge hear all the evidence, all the witnesses, and say that each of them was not guilty, that there was no reason for them to be, for the British to open fire on any of them. No reason for any of them to be killed, that these were all innocent people and that these cases had never been properly investigated, that the British had never investigated, never given them justice. And that was tremendous for those families. They fought in court. They fought a campaign. They fought every sort of publicity battle they could to get justice for their family, not just for their own families, but for all of those families who were in similar positions in the north of Ireland, and they finally got it, and they won it.
Again, for the families, this is justice well delayed. And are many of the relatives of the victims, Ballymurphy victims, are they still alive? Are they still around? I know many of them, near and dear to the victims, are no longer with us.
Well, that's one of the things that they mentioned. There were, at the time of the killings, there were 57 children who were left without one parent. add, those people are still there, but they have certainly. They've talked about how there were family members. For example, the parents of many of those who were killed are not allowed to see it. But what was remarkable is that generations, for example, we had one of the people of leading figures on it, Carmel Quinn, who we had for a tour. Yeah. The Ancient Order of Hibernians sponsored her on a tour 2 years ago, and she's one of the people appearing. When I was in the courtroom, I've attended a couple of the inquest proceedings, her daughters would come up to me and talked about their uncle. Now, Carmel herself was 8 years old at the time. Her older brother, somebody she looked up to and loved very much, was killed. But generations, her daughters, their children, actually now, feel very deeply the hurt, the loss of having a loved one murdered like that. So this is something that goes across generations, and it's something that's also deeply felt. There are many people across the north of Ireland, across Ireland, anywhere in Ireland, who have had loved ones killed, who have fought or trying to get justice and truth from the British through inquests or through the Stormont House Agreement or through many of the any other way they can get the British to admit the truth. And this was a victory for all of them, and it gave encouragement to all of them.
Martin Galvin, I want to ask you about, again, on the stalling or the... was there an understanding with both major British parties that in time this might just go away? You know, 50 years, and, you know, from your own records, 18,171 days, somewhere along the line, there must have been those who believed nothing would ever happen, not in this case, not in the Finucane case, that somehow, you know, this will have to go away because there won't be an inquest, and if there was, what good would it be now, 50 years later?
What happened was, for example, these families came together right after 1998, the Good Friday Agreement, promised a new chance of justice. It promised to recognize the losses of the victims and to give them an opportunity to see justice. And one of the first groups that came together through Relatives for Justice was the Ballymurphy Massacre families. And I know you've interviewed Mark Thompson several times from Relatives for Justice, who is one of the organizers. But these people came together then. They've been fighting since that. I think it took them 10 years to get the Attorney General to order an inquest. It took more years before that inquest actually began. And then just when they went to court, very often British Ministry of Defense, who was representing the troopers, they would stall, not turn over documents that the judge had commanded, did everything they could to delay things, to make it impossible to get justice. So as you say, Britain certainly thought that they could delay everything. They certainly thought they could stall. There were prime ministers who said, well, if this has to happen, let it happen after me. And these families, they kept up. They went to court every day. They lined up for more than 100 days of the inquest. They fought all the time. They came to the United States. They lobbied Congress. They worked with groups like the Ancient Order of Hibernians, did everything they could, until there was no alternative but to give them their day in court and to give them the verdict that they were entitled to 50 years ago after those their loved ones were killed.
And excuse my interpretation here, but it is the icing on the cake that Boris Johnson actually acknowledged and sent letters to the families of the victims, acknowledging, apologizing, even though it didn't go, it wasn't a lengthy apology. But that also is something that's amazing. But how, Martin, is this going to help, or will it help to, you know, dust off the old inquest, that actually the supposed inquest, which always hit a stumbling block, along the way.
Well, what has happened? First of all, there was an apology given, but it wasn't like Cameron, the prime minister who apologized for Bloody Sunday, stood up and said the killings were unjustified and unjustifiable. He alerted the families, the Bloody Sunday families, that that would happen. He did so in a public and dignified way that was very much welcomed by the Bloody Sunday families. A letter was sent that just talked about the events and say they regretted it took so long, even though his government had contributed to that delay as much and did everything they could to delay the day of justice for the Ballymurphy families. He did not even attend Parliament. He had a secretary just make a comment. And I know Micheál Martin traveled to London today, and that was one of the topics that they took up. The Irish government has taken very strong positions on this. And unfortunately, at the very time that they were announcing, the judge in the court in Belfast was announcing the verdict that all of the Ballymurphy people were innocent. Those people who killed them, British troopers, the Queen standing up in the British House of Lords to say that they would have an amnesty for British troopers, that that would be introduced. And in fact, that instead of the Stormont House Agreement, the promise of investigations which could give justice to so many other people who have longed to hear the same words that Ballymurphy families heard this week in court, that they were going to try and just renege on that agreement. The British were not going to follow through. They were not going to allow investigations which could prove them guilty as they were proven guilty at Ballymurphy. So I know that that is now a bone of contention. The families are just very disappointed in the lack of class and graciousness which Boris Johnson showed in that apology. And I know other families who want to see justice, whose relatives were killed by British troops or in collusion, they want to see the Stormont House Agreement as negotiated, as pledged with the Irish government and reaffirmed a little over a year ago in the New Decade New Approach Agreement, that they want to see those, that Stormont House Agreement, the investigations which could give them justice go forward, don't want to see Britain reneging and trying to put away any possibility of justice or real path to justice for their, those many families who have seen loved ones killed.
Again, I do want to ask you if this might be considered, a once-off that will keep them quiet, or will it be more difficult now for the British government to say, okay, well, we gave you Ballymurphy, now what more do you want? How do you see it?
All they did was really allow a British court to have an inquest under their own laws, and when that finally happened, justice was done, the truth was declared, the evidence was overwhelming. It is simply because the British refused to follow their own law. I mean, under their laws, they made those innocent people, a priest holding up a white handkerchief, going to the aid of somebody who was wounded to see if he needed medical assistance or last rites, other individuals there, a former British soldier who was wounded in World War II, worked at a church, walking away, shot down, a grandmother, 11 people altogether who were victims, 10 shot down, and 11th had a heart attack as a result of being brutalized. All the British did was allow their own courts to go forward. And to paraphrase something Winston Churchill once said, it's only because every other alternative that they had, every delay was exhausted, and they just didn't have a choice except to let the evidence go forward. And the evidence was overwhelming of Britain's guilt that these families were innocent.
The Ancient Order of Hibernians, and of course many of the other groups in support of Northern Ireland and indeed the reunification of the island of Ireland, have for many years joined together, and from this side of the Atlantic, and there are some that says if it wasn't for this for the support from the United States, this would have probably died long ago.
Well, I believe Britain is very concerned about American public opinion, and there have been many groups. I was with Irish Northern Aid when I spoke in the 20th anniversary of Ballymurphy in 1991 at an event in Belfast. The Ancient Order of Hibernians has been there from the very beginning. The Unity Conference, the Brehens, other groups.
Absolutely.
We've all tried to work and support justice for these families, as we have for many other groups. Senator Menendez, who has a resolution in the United States Senate, is going to be addressing an event tomorrow that the Ancient Order of Hibernians is having, and it's American pressure is crucial. We have to unite if we're ever going to see justice for the people in the North, the other victims. Ballymurphy has seen the start of it. They're very concerned that those who killed their loved ones will never have to face the law, will never have to face any kind of charges, and that the British are trying to cut off any further investigations so that other families can't get that same justice. America is going to be crucial, and that's the next step that we've already begun.
Martin Galvin, again, Freedom for Ireland Committee, our chair, the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And by the way, you broadcast once in a while, you're publishing, you're doing everything. So you don't hit the armchair too often, do you? I mean...
Yeah. Well, I try not to, but, you know, Adrian, I can't help, I have to observe, I can't help but think that somewhere up there in heaven, Paul O'Dwyer and Frank Durkin, who work so often... to get justice through the courts, to put American observers there, all the work that they did, that they have to be smiling at the result that the Ballymurphy families got this week.
Hear, hear. That's it. Martin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
God bless. Bye.